Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host here, Bill Howell, on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Seoul, Dotna. Next up, we've got an interview with Mayor Bert Cottle of Wasilla. He's going to talk to us a little bit about a bill proposing to change the authority that home rule and first-class cities would have with regards to alcohol licensing. Mayor, how are you doing today, sir?
Bill, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to talk to us. We really do appreciate it. So, SB 96, what can you tell our listeners about it?
Senate Bill 96 has been introduced by Senator Wilson and also Senator Schauer. Basically, what the bill does is allows and lifts the population requirements on certain liquor licenses. And what our stance is, we're getting penalized because we've had economic development here. And just on the beer and wine license sides, I can't get any more beer and wine licenses in my jurisdiction because we're at the population threshold. And under the new one, it actually increases the population number where I'm at 9,000 population right now. I might have to go up over 20,000 before I can get another beer and wine license. So currently, I have 36 different licenses inside the city. I have an option to get maybe as many as 47 more licenses out of Anchorage, i.e. Olive Garden, Cattle Company, steakhouses, stuff like that to come out here. But part of their business, less than 10% of the business, is associated with beer and wine. So because I'm at that threshold now, I can't get another restaurant eating place. And I just think that's wrong. I mean, under Title 29, first-class city, home rule cities, agreed to certain things under Alaska State Constitution. And I think we're being penalized because we've had economic development. And in fact, I'm pretty sure it applies to Soldotna and Kenai down there. If you take a look at package stores, under your package store rules and regulations, I'm not too sure you could get a Costco. Is that fair to you in Kenai? Is that fair to me in Wasilla? I can't get a Costco because I can't have a package store. I think the local population should determine that, not the state determine that. If the state wants to get into regulating alcohol licenses, I think there's a time and I think there's a place. I think, as Senator Michikis written his Senate bill right now, there's an educational aspect in that bill that we all support. There's an enforcement aspect in that bill that we all support. But when you start micromanaging, what I believe is micromanaging, what your population numbers need to be before the state will let you do, that should not be a state option to do that. I mean, we probably lose more people a year in diabetes incidents than we do in alcohol right now. So maybe we should limit fast food places because of diabetes. I mean, I don't think we should be doing that.
So what you're looking to do with this bill would be to give the cities the authority to decide within their own borders how many package store licenses and restaurant eating place licenses that they would have. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. You know, everybody keeps using these policies. You know, well, we've seen this study, we've seen that study. So I'm going to read just a couple lines from it. It's from a Legislative Research Services. This was done in July 15th of 2018. This was done out of Juneau. This is under alcohol uses and policies to restrict the availability of alcohol. And this was done by a legal analysis that works down there. And it said, and I'm just going to quote a couple things. It says, examining how states that place quotas on liquor licenses compared to states that do not place quotas, there is little, if any, evidence to affirm that such quotas are correlated and reduce alcohol use or alcoholism or reduce alcoholism. That's under the own states. This was taken out of Senator Michikis' book, just because we limit how many licenses we have. So, and I'm sure you're familiar with the Mat-Su Valley. So my city is 14 square miles. And we're basically the hub of economic development as far as retail wholesale. So everybody's going to come shopping, is going to come inside the city limits here because that's my niche. I'm the downtown Anchorage of the Valley. I mean, you're going to go shopping, you're going to come to me. So when I was in Juneau 3 weeks ago, we were going from senator to senator pleading our case. And somebody said, well, what happens if you look like a Las Vegas Strip? And I go, okay, so what's wrong with that? That's my option. That's the locals' option. If we voted to go dry tomorrow, I shut down 36 businesses that have liquor licenses. I shut down 36 different deals. My local population can determine that, not the state, not the federal, but the locals can determine that. So I can be, we all know what dry means. So I can be dry. I can be damp. We know what damp is. But the state's going to regulate how wet I can be. And I would say my pushback would be, you know, there's a place for that. And I would say that's rural Alaska that has no, maybe the government agency or the oversight that we do as a local jurisdiction, you know, Kenai, Soldotna, and Wasilla. But I also have the fourth largest police department in the state. And Kenai, your area down there, your local departments are probably in the top 10. We have local jurisdictions and local police powers that take care of that. The state doesn't come down and oversee what happens in Kenai and Soldotna as far as law enforcement goes and related to alcohol. I mean, you got to beg them to even figure out where you're located at. So they're not out there doing that every day. Your people are in uniform and my people are. So we already regulate that. And if we have a bad situation going on, that's up to us to regulate that. And, you know, if we can't regulate it locally, we may go to the state and ask them to pull a license. And they may or may not even agree with us. So I'm just saying, don't penalize you and me for doing economic development. I mean, we keep hearing, you know, the state saying, well, I don't want federal oversight. Well, I don't want the feds to come in and do oversight over my state either. But at the same time, I don't think the state should be coming over and, you know, doing the oversight on the local jurisdictions. I mean, some people think these are like limited M-tree fishing permits, you know, that all of a sudden my package store license is worth $1 million. You and me, Bill, let's face it. You and me can't go out and compete against, you know, a Brown Jug, Fred Meyer, Car Godstein. I've got two Tesoro, Alaska package store licenses inside the city limits. You and me, the Bill and Bert, the B&B liquor store, we can't compete against them. Okay, they actually buy some of them alcohol orders come in by train. I can't buy a train load for the B&B liquor store. So, you know, the local economy is going to determine whether or not the B&B liquor store makes it. If I want a Costco, why are you going to hold me back from 250 jobs, a $30 million investment inside my city because I can't let them have a liquor license? That's not fair.
The situation is worse than that, Mayor, because B&B probably is sitting on a liquor license that we have from 40 years ago, and we're waiting to be able to demand $1 million from Costco when they want to come in for our piece of paper that was issued for the state.
Right. So, and we open it 30 days a year. We have the B&B liquor license open 30 days a year, so we meet the requirement. And you know that, you know, it's not probably at what level it should be. So you're preventing a business that could make a difference in your community from coming in because you may want $1 million for our license or sitting on it.
Pull out your crystal ball. What do you think the prospects are of this actually getting any traction?
Well, personally, I mean, from our standpoint, a bad bill is a bad bill. I'd like to see them take the educational aspect out of it and maybe pass that, maybe take the enforcement aspect out of the current Senator Michicki's bill out of it and pass that. But until they fix the other part on the number of licenses that were allowed, a bad bill is a bad bill. It's my understanding this bill's been sitting down there for 7 years. I mean, there's a reason it hasn't moved in 7 years. So unless this gets changed, I hope the bill dies. And we'll just keep working on it to get it changed. I mean, I should not be penalized for having economic development, and neither should you. That's a local option.
No, I was actually talking about your bill, SB 96. What do you think the chances are of it?
It's probably going to be a long road uphill because there's a lot of different entities looking at that because there's the B&B people sitting on it. It affects, you know, some other licensing. So maybe a compromise is, you know, you and me from our jurisdictional districts go in once a year and say, you know what? I'm here to ask for one package store for the next 12 months and three restaurant licenses. And either I use them license options between January and December, or they go away and I come back in next year and get the same amount. And, you know, maybe there's a control issue that can come in there. But just to come in and say, no, you're doing a good job out in Wasilla, but we're not going to let you do any more of a good job is wrong. Same with you guys. You know, the governor Dunleavy saying, you know, we need to diversify our economy. We need to, you know, be able to do that kind of stuff. Well, this is one of the things that stops us from diversifying our economy. I mean, if you got a hotel that wants to come in down there and wants to have 45 rooms, but you know, their population's numbers now are probably saying that you got to have 65 rooms. But it doesn't pencil out for me to do 65 rooms in Kenai or Soldotna. I only want to do 45 rooms. Well, you can't have a beer and wine license because you got to do 65. So why? You and me are not going to open a business knowing it's going to fail. I can't get a bank loan knowing that it's going to fail. Well, under Title 29, the city of Soldotna and the city of Kenai determined they wanted to be the local jurisdiction and local government governing body. Let us, and Wasilla did the same thing. Let us be the local governing body. Because, I mean, like I said, we can stop alcohol. So we can stop it, but we just can't say how much we can let in. But we count on the state. You know, I'm not trying to start a fight with the state, but, I mean, are they really the right answer on what they come up with? I mean, some of the things could come out of there can scare all of us.
Yeah, I've always questioned why we think a one-size-fits-all solution works in Alaska. We're the biggest state in the union, incredibly diverse. We have all these different communities. Yet, when it comes to alcohol, we know that this number ratio is the perfect one for everywhere in the entire state.
Right. And then say, okay, so let's play one what-if game. So in a past life, I was a police officer down in Valdez. So I was down there when they built the pipeline. Okay, so the city of Valdez went from 1,200 people in 1974, went up and peaked at 15,000. So under the population number, they let a bunch of liquor licenses in and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know what, as the population went back down, supply and demand kicked in. And they went from having four different liquor stores down there to having one. And they had somebody that was kind of sitting on one of the other liquor licenses and was doing the B&B, Bert and Bill thing. And they were kind of open, but you really couldn't find them. They really didn't have any alcohol. And so I got a line, a block line coming out of the liquor store in Valdez. And the city's going to the liquor board saying, hey, we need another liquor license. We're having more problems on the street with guys arguing, fighting in line, trying to get in to buy a bottle. And, you know, so help us out there. And they still haven't fixed the problem down there. Of course, the one guy with a liquor license is, you know, he's not in no hurry. And the guy that's got the other one who wants, you know, maybe $1 million, he's not in no hurry. So, but it creates other problems. Yeah. Supply and demand. I mean, isn't that what we were all based on? Is anybody could succeed? Let us succeed.
Yeah, in theory, it's a free market. Never quite sure whether it really is or not.
Right. Like I said, these are not limited fishing licenses. I understand about that. You know, and I spent 3 years on the state liquor board years ago, and they should be available. The locals should be able to determine it if you have the jurisdictional authority to. That's all I'm asking.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us, Mayor. I really appreciate it. Good luck with getting these changes made, and we'll be cheering for you down here in the cheap seats in the Kenai.
Hey, I come down there, too. I'm going to be down there for a week this summer. So, yeah, no, I hope we all win.
Thank you again, sir. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We'll be right back with our next segment.
Are you guys ready for a little bit of rest?
Relaxation?
And Ruri.
No, you're supposed to say radio.
Radio.
Because we have a radio station. It's rest, relaxation, and radio.
Radio.
7 to 9 on Thursdays, KDLL 91.9.
Guys, that's it.
Hello, and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. I'm your host, Bill Howell. In our next segment, we're going to talk about beer styles, specifically the alt beer style. Alt beer is one of the few indigenous German ale styles, along with Kolsch and Hefeweizen. It's a crisp, clean-tasting, full-bodied beer of usually 4.7 to 4.9% alcohol by volume, with a copper-brown color, firm, lacy white crown of foam, and a malty to nutty to bittersweet finish. Alt beer evolved over the centuries in and around Dusseldorf. Whereas southern Germany is known for its lagers, the Rhineland, like neighboring Belgium, is known primarily for its ales. Alt means old, an allusion to the older style of ale brewing before the emergence of cold fermented lager beers. The modern alt beer only acquired its current name in the 1800s, when the Dusseldorf original became threatened by the new beer, the lagers of Bavaria and Bohemia being transported there by the growing network of railroads. Alt beer is a unique beer style because it requires an unorthodox, cool fermentation by a specialty ale yeast that works best in a temperature range between 55 and 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Although most other ales are fermented fast and warm at temperatures between 59 and 77 degrees, and most lagers are fermented slow and cold at between 46 and 56 degrees, alt beer's fermentation is somewhere in between. Because of this cool fermentation process, alt beer yeast generates fewer fermentation byproducts, such as esters and fusel-like alcohols. In addition, before being packaged, alt beers are aged in lagering tanks for 4 to 8 weeks at roughly 32 degrees. This slow, lager-like maturation allows the yeast to reabsorb much of the small amounts of esters and aldehydes it produced during the primary fermentation. A properly produced alt beer is an unusually mellow and clean-tasting ale of exceptional drinkability. Alt beer is traditionally served at about 45 degrees in a simple cylindrical glass. When it comes to food pairings, alt beers go well with smoked sausages, pork, or grilled salmon. If you're pairing it with cheese, try Asiago, Camembert, Cheshire, or an aged Gouda. Oddly enough, we here in Alaska are quite familiar with this very German style of beer. That's because Alaskan Brewing Company's flagship beer, Alaskan Amber, is an alt beer. Because this beer is called Amber, it's often mistaken for an American Amber Ale instead of the alt style beer that it actually is. How did Jeff and Marcy Larson, the founders of Alaskan Brewing, end up producing a German-style alt beer in Juneau in 1986? Well, here's an excerpt from page 84 of my book, Alaska Beer, Liquid Gold in the Land of the Midnight Sun, which describes how Alaskan Amber came to be. While Jeff was busy meeting the inspirational leaders of the craft brewing movement, Marcy was beginning to immerse herself in the historical background of brewing in Alaska, and more specifically, Juneau. Alaska has a long and proud history of brewing, back to its earliest days as an American territory. In the early 1980s, there were still old-timers around Juneau who had memories of the pre-Prohibition breweries and the beers they had produced. As word of the planned brewery spread, residents would contact the couple to offer up boxes of memorabilia from the early days of brewing in Alaska. Marcy sorted through numerous such boxes, containing just about everything conceivable from the old breweries: trinkets, trash, invoices, and raw materials orders. One thing in particular caught her eye: a mention of Saaz hops in a 1907 newspaper article, in which the reporter interviewed the brewer at Douglas City Brewing. In the article, the brewer described the challenges he faced in trying to brew a traditional German alt beer, a warm fermenting ale, in Juneau's not-so-warm climate. The brewer also discussed his difficulties in sourcing Saaz hops from Bohemia, now the Czech Republic, but in 1907 a part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Due to his supply difficulties, the brewer used only enough hops to balance the beer, with the malt being the dominant flavor element. A local collector by the name of Nick Nichols also had quite a bit of information regarding Douglas City Brewing, including invoices and old raw material orders. Combining the information from the article and the old records, Jeff was able to reconstruct the recipe, and he began making homebrew test batches to perfect it. And perfect it he did. After first being released to the public in 1986, Alaskan Amber was voted best beer in the nation in the 1998 Great American Beer Festival Consumer Poll and won a silver medal at the 2012 World Beer Cup, as well as being the foundational beer upon which all the subsequent success of Alaskan brewing was based. I doubt there's anyone out there listening to my voice who hasn't tasted Alaskan Amber, but if you haven't or it's been a while, I encourage you to pick one up and enjoy Alaskan's take on the classic German style known as alt beer. Coming up, we'll have our last interview for this month. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.
It's all mixed up. It's all mixed up.
This is Vicky Fruscianti, reminding you to tune in to KDLL Fridays at 7:15 p.m. for your weekly dose of mixed up genres and back-to-back rhythms on The Rhythm Mix, all kinds of music for all kinds of people.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host here, Bill Howell, on 91.9 FM, Kenai, Seoul, Dotna. Next up, we got an interview with our good friend, Kinsey Rees. We had on a few months ago. Kinsey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
Great. Let's talk about your Mammoth Tusk beer.
Yeah, so I'm friends with the owners of Odd Man Rush, Ross Johnson and Reed and Swanee. We've been kind of talking, you know, a long time about doing a collaboration beer with some kind of a project with my dad's Ice Age Fossil Collection in Fairbanks. And the idea at the time was, oh, we should take one of the bones that my dad owns and maybe grind it up and put it into the beer. So I suggested, how about we use some mammoth ivory? And they thought that was a great idea. And we worked together. And the agreement was that I would provide the mammoth ivory. And they would do all the actual hard work as far as brewing the beer. And I would just design the label and come up with a name. So we ended up with Mammoth Dust. It's a New England IPA, really, really juicy and not really high in the ABV. I think it's a great summertime beer. Turned out really phenomenal, I think.
You just released a film too, right? Regarding the Mammoth Boneyard?
Yes, that's correct. So I'm actually the writer for that documentary. And we have been working on it for a couple of years. And the documentary came out about a month ago. We're kind of using it as a way to, you know, just kind of like show a little bit of love to all the work my dad's done in Fairbanks. And he owns a world-class fossil collection for Pleistocene animals. So mammoth, horse, moose, bison. We got some cave lion skeletons he's found up there. He's really got quite the collection of Ice Age mammals. He luckily, you know, agreed to let us use one of them for this collaboration beer we did with Omar. And the video is actually available to rent on Vimeo. It's called Boneyard Alaska. So if you go to Vimeo.com and just type in Boneyard Alaska, you'll be able to rent it and watch it.
That's not the only project you've got going, right? Well, I know one of the things you're working on is your 907 craft beer.
907 craft beer was an idea that I believe it was last August when Juno politicians basically tried to pull a fast one and say, well, breweries should only be allowed to serve two beers, two consumer per day instead of three. That kind of scared me at the time. It kind of made me a little bit angry. So luckily that, I think it was SB76.
Yeah, that was the bill that they tried to amend to do that.
Yeah, so that bill failed. And I kind of thought about it for the winter. I was like, you know, we kind of dodged a bullet. But then I thought more about it. And if you compare Alaska's brewery laws to other states, I feel like they're kind of unjust. And even limiting us to 36 ounces or three beers per day is, I see it really unfair to both the brewery owners and also the consumers, and also the 8 p.m. closing time. It feels more like a curfew. And if you go down to lower 48, you'll see states that really are, if there is no limit, and they'll stay up to 10, 11 o'clock every night. And I feel like this is something that needed to be addressed. But the idea behind 907 Craft Beer was, instead of just becoming the spokesman for this, I wanted to do a little bit of surveying and get some hard data to show that there really is no correlation between people that go to the bars to go and hang out and drink versus the people who go to breweries. Because I feel like those are actually two separate demographics of consumers. So if there was a future bill that was crafted, let's say six beers was the new limit, you wouldn't see an actual decrease in the bar's revenue. So my mindset at the time was this data could help just alleviate some of these worries that the brewery competition would have, you know, if the laws did change. Maybe it's about time we took a hard look at it and said, maybe we should get with the times and follow a model like the Portland model, where, like I said, it's unlimited and they can stay up until 10 or 11 o'clock. And, you know, the economic return on that would be phenomenal. And I think if they did that, it would really increase the craft beer tourism scene that I think Alaska is just could really just have a huge advantage for bringing more tourism up here for just our craft beer. And that's something that I don't think a lot of people are looking at the bigger picture when it comes to these laws, because we have world-class beer up here. And a lot of people, you know, they want to come to Alaska. And this is just one more great reason to come up here.
All right. Well, hey, that sounds great. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us, Kinsey. I sure appreciate it. And best of luck with your various projects, particularly that one about changing the law.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
All righty. Take care. This is all Bill right, Howell, Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. That's pretty much it for this month's show. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back next month. But before we go, instead of a closing quote this month, I'm going to close with a definition. Cenosilicophobia is defined as the fear of an empty beer glass. I'm thinking of starting a foundation to combat this dread condition. If and when I do, your donations will be welcome. Cheers.
Beers of Alaska. Beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska. Learn about them here.
IPAs, ales and stouts, pilsners, porters too. Microbrew, homebrew, any craft you choose. Look before you leap, sip before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst. Cleanse your palate before you quench your thirst.